For years, Anna Linda McAfee has written about books, judged literary prizes, and interviewed novelists. She was so steeped in the world of literature that in 1999 she founded The Guardian's literary supplement, The Guardian Review, which she edited until 2006. She's published several successful children's books, but now she has her first novel, The Spoiler, which is published by Knopf. It's a satire that makes fun of the culture of celebrity and sex in modern-day newsrooms, and I'm very pleased that it brings Anna Linda McAfee to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
I once spoke with the former editor of a British book review page who was devastated when his book was slammed by the critics, and he felt that he had played a role in creating a mean-spirited culture where that sort of thing was almost guaranteed to happen in England. Were you worried about how the British critics might deal with you after having edited a book review for so long?
Well, I did think that actually some bad karma might be heading my way. I'd built up a bit over the years, but people were surprisingly kind.
And you didn't have any problem with the fact that your husband is a famous novelist?
I don't have a problem with it. And
they did.
They didn't seem to. One or two wanted to make reference to it, but that's fine.
Well, the work is very different.
Yes.
Your story centers on two main characters, Honor and Tamara. Can you describe these two women?
Well, Honor is an octogenarian veteran war correspondent who, in her view, worked in the great days of newspapers when there were hardly any pictures on the front page and bylines were rare. She covered all the great theaters of war of the 20th century. Tamara is at the other end of the scale, a gossip columnist, basically, with a kind of preternatural knowledge of the sex lives and weight issues of television stars.
And at first, Honor comes across as kind of cruel and distant, while Tamara is ignorant and appallingly poorly read. Is that the state of British journalism today?
I wouldn't say so. In fact, I think there are a lot of healthy, great journalism out there. But I was pitching two extremes against each other.
But also two different philosophies, journalistic philosophies, because British journalism, while it's always been a little different, at least never really aimed for the totally objective, as Americans supposedly do, it was a lot more respected in the past than it has come to be in recent years, especially in the light of some of the scandals we've been reading about.
Yes, I set my book in 1997, which was before universal mobile phones. And of course, once they came, then issues like phone hacking became possible for scurrilous tabloid journalists.
Were you sorry when you realized that phone hacking had been such a problem that you hadn't set the book a few years later?
No, I wasn't. And in fact, right at the end of the book, I have a few sentences which I think prefigure the phone hacking scandal. For me, 1997 was interesting journalistically because it was a cusp moment. At the beginning of 1997, it was still possible for respectable, skeptical journalists to say the internet is a passing fad and will soon be over. Print is king. And we all know that within months, even, it became plain that something else was going to happen.
Well, in the final pages, Honor says that journalism today is like lavatory graffiti is to the Sistine Chapel. So she's very dismissive.
She's very dismissive, but that is her perspective. She's a woman who's reluctant to let go of many things. Her beauty, which has passed, and her preeminent position in journalism. And in fact, but that's not my position as far as journalism goes. I mean, there are fantastic people. The late Marie Colvin, an example of what courage and integrity can do in journalism.
Well, from the start in this story, Honor and Tamara don't get along. Honor accuses Tamara of belonging to the horoscope reading class.
Yes.
She's pretty much saying, you know, you are an ignorant twit.
Well, I like the fact, the juxtaposition of these two extremes.
And Tamara is attempting to write a profile about honor because she wants to move up in class. She wants to write about honor because it's an opportunity for her to get out of just writing standard celebrity profile.
She's a young woman with ambition, if not skill. But for her, the opportunity to write about honor, the notion of addressing the history of the last century is of no interest to her whatsoever. What is of interest is anyone the elderly woman journalist might have slept with, who might have been a celebrity of sorts.
When you started in journalism, were those the sorts of things you asked questions about?
No, they weren't. I started in local papers in London, and no, they were very much about reflecting community. And then I worked on the Financial Times, which is not known for its vulgar celebrity culture, and the same with The Guardian.
Well, we are always interested in the sex lives of even the most important literary figures. There's a new film on HBO about the relationship between Ernest Hemingway and Martha Gellhorn, who was also a celebrated journalist, but we remember her for two reasons. The fact she was a great war correspondent, and the fact that she had an affair with Hemingway that ended in their getting married and having a terrible marriage.
Well, yes, you could say that all our interest in the Bloomsbury group, for instance, is a kind of refined form of gossip.
Who did Virginia Woolf sleep with, for example?
Yes, or not. There is a sort of body of knowledge that goes with that, and it goes hand in hand with a kind of wish to understand the work. It's a reflection of interest in the work.
Well, The Guardian and The Times were always the papers that people respected the most in England. The Guardian has right now been the paper that has been the harshest on what Rupert Murdoch has been doing to British journalism. But it also doesn't have the kind of readership that the Murdoch papers have. Is this a losing battle?
I'm not sure. I mean, of course, people on the tabloid side do say we give the readers what they want. But actually, what happened with the phone hacking scandal was an extraordinary reader revolt. We saw that there was a limit to what people would take. So once they learned that the stories about this missing teenager who was subsequently found to be murdered had been got at in the way by hacking the missing girl, or dead girl as it turned out, phone message, once they learned that there were subterfuge used on victims of the 7/7 bombings, on the families of soldiers killed, the reading public, who have an appetite for celebrity tittle-tattle, said this is not on, and they put pressure on advertisers, and the advertisers were obliged to withdraw.
Well, you have worked for The Guardian, Financial Times. They can't have been models for the spoiler.
Not in any way. I did spend time on the London Evening Standard, which bestrides both worlds. It's a tabloid physically, but it has broadsheet elements, and I was editing arts and writing theatre criticism there. But it's a lively world and a close world, and many of my colleagues from local papers and Evening Standard had worked in tabloid journalism, so I observed it, but I never participated.
Have you modelled any of your characters on real people? How much of this is a Romana Clay?
Not much. Tamara Sim and Honor Tate are entirely invented.
What about Paul Tucker?
Paul Tucker.
He's kind of like the prototypical swashbuckling journalist.
Yes. I saw a few. There are a few of those guys in their flak jackets dominating foreign coverage. And maybe rather reluctant to let the women step in. But I was quite interested in the type, but there's not one person it's based on.
Well, didn't you base Honor somewhat on the American war correspondent, Margaret Higgins?
there are some aspects. I was absolutely fascinated by the story of Marguerite Higgins. She deserves a movie in her own right, I think. There's a great biography of her as well. But I was very careful not to tread on toes. But Honor, if she had been real, would have followed the same career path as Marguerite in Korea and Vietnam.
Well, by the end of the book, Tamara and Honor have kind of changed entirely, and things are not as they seemed. That's part of the fun of inventing a plot like this. But we can also see this book very much as youth versus age. As I said earlier, different journalistic philosophies and how they've changed over the years, why celebrity has suddenly become the focus rather than issues of real substance. Are you pining after a better time in the past?
I think that's a dangerous position to adopt. I think the scramble down market was a response to dwindling circulation in the face of the power of the web. And I think it'll stabilize. And I think the internet brings a lot of great opportunities for good journalism, for long-form journalism. As long as resources continue to be put into quality journalism, it will thrive. And all that's changed is the mode of presentation and delivery.
Well, at the end of the book, a character named Tanya talks about the future, which is the internet. But you've said you only read print newspapers.
No,
still?
I don't. I read. There's a pile of New York Times delivered to my hotel room that I'm afraid of left unattended because I read on apps and Kindle subscription, and so I love the tactile quality of newspapers, but for speed and convenience, you can't beat the internet.
When you were writing about books and judging books, were you thinking about a time when you might write your own novels?
Well, I think almost every journalist I've ever met has wanted to write a novel, and it was always in the back of my mind. And my bluff was finally called.
By whom? By your husband?
Yeah,
your husband is Ian McEwan,
yes.
Not exactly an unknown writer in these parts.
That's correct, yes.
And it did he help? I mean, there often couples exchange manuscripts.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever engage in that sort of thing?
Well, completely. He would say I'm his first reader, and he would read my manuscript with a pencil in his hand as I read his.
So now that you've gotten over the hump and published your first novel, can we expect more?
I'm having a go, yes. Yeah.
Again, based on journalism?
No, I think it's time to move on, really. It's such a fragile idea at the moment that I'm reluctant to talk about it, but I can say I am a recovering journalist.
Well, you worked in journalism for 3 decades.
Exactly.
And do you miss it?
On days of big breaking news stories, I'd love to break into a newsroom and just stand there and inhale the pheromones or whatever. But other than that, I'm very happy to be working at the more reflective pace of book writing rather than the daily press of journalism.
Annalena McAfee, McAfee. Her novel, The Spoiler, is published by Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.